Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks very much for joining us, everybody. We are live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Pleasure to have you with us today. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific at the time of the broadcast on Friday, 7th, 2021. This broadcast is live worldwide, but also will be archived. So you have an opportunity to hear this again or share the link and the episode with family and friends and colleagues. Today on this episode, we are celebrating and welcoming Becca Powers. She's the author of Harness Your Inner CEO, Rise into Passion, Prosperity, and Empowerment, a personal growth guide for women in business. The book actually offers the tools and insight to make an authentic, empowered transformation. She wants to help women know that they can really have a career and a life, that you don't have to choose between success and happiness. The life of your dreams shouldn't come at a price. There's a way to get unstuck and back into the realm of new possibilities, and you can build it all exactly from where you are right now, because Becca says you are, we all are, the CEO of our own lives. As a coach, Becca is committed to helping success-driven working moms ditch the self-sacrifice and stress. She empowers women to realize that they are the one in control. And step by step, Becca teaches her clients to rise into empowerment, reignite their passions, and relish in the prosperity they deserve. Becoming the CEO of your life will actually change your trajectory, according to Becca, and she would know. As a Fortune 500 sales executive, she was responsible for $400 million of annual revenue and a department of about 115 people. But with all of that great success and rising up the ladder there, she overworked herself into an autoimmune disease, anxiety disorders, lowered self-worth, and even missed out on motherhood by prioritizing the career first. She's very open and very authentic and very honest about it because she wants to help others, wants to point people in a direction that can really be fulfilling and helpful. She realized that she didn't have to be this way. What she really needed to do was stop sacrificing herself to the company, to the schedule, or to anything else. It's really a fascinating story she's going to share with us. The book, again, Harness Your Inner CEO, offers readers the confidence boost to create a life they love personally and professionally. Her website is BeccaPowers.com. That's BeccaPowers.com. We'll mention it again towards the end of the show. And the book, Harness Your Inner CEO, Rise into Passion, Prosperity, and Empowerment, will be available on Amazon. If you're listening to this months from now, then it already is. So just keep checking Amazon and you can find the book. My pleasure to welcome her live and direct from the Sunshine State, Florida, our special guest on this episode of Close Up Radio, the author of Harness Your Inner CEO, Becca Powers. Becca, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us today.
Yes, thanks, Jim, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, it is our pleasure, and congratulations on the book. I know it's early September when we're doing this live show, but it's going to be published in October, so a number of weeks from now, not far from now. I know the excitement is building. It's, writing a book, it can be labor-intensive, can be emotional, can be therapeutic, very involved. We'll talk about the book in just a second, but I would love for our audience to get a real good, clear understanding of you and why you love this work and why it's so important for you to do this kind of work that really inspires and lifts others up, gets them to really sort of dig deep and reignite that flame inside that maybe has been reduced to just a light flicker due to world events, events in our own individual lives, and whatever the case may be that causes that. I'm sure, as I mentioned, just a few of those things in the introduction, you've had a lot of different things that you've experienced in your life, I'm sure, that have inspired you to realize that you don't just want to do this work. You're meant to do this work. You have to do this work helping others.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you mentioned, like, you know, what's the story? How did this come, and how did my passion rise for this? And it really came from that moment of, from multiple moments, actually, of overcommitting myself and overworking. You know, being driven in my career, and many of us are, right? Whether you're in the corporate American life, or if you're in, you know, an entrepreneur, a lot of us work.
Or the broadcasting world.
Yeah, or the broadcasting world, right?
Yeah.
You know, but we're working because we need to make money. We're working because we think we're doing the right things. And I can say from my perspective, that's where I was coming from. I was doing everything that I was doing from a place of love. I was doing a place of being a provider. Like, I'm a mother. I'm the primary breadwinner. And all of my effort came from that place of just wanting to give my family everything. What I didn't realize is that in over-throttling into my career, I was exhausting myself. I was working, and I'm sure many people can relate to this, right? Working 12-hour days. And it's not like I did it for a week or a month. I ended up doing it combined for years. And so, and then I'm in sales, and I've been in, you know, sales leadership roles, and responsible for multi-million dollars of business. So the, like, my job comes with a lot of stress too. And what ended up happening was that I was so tired when I got home every day from work that I was emotionally unavailable for my kids because I wasn't emotionally available for myself. And it took me a long time to see that, Jim. Like, it really did. But the moment happened when, you know, when we get to the climax where, you know, I'm now diagnosed with two anxiety disorders. My hair is falling out in clumps. Like, if I if life wasn't telling me something needed to change, like, it couldn't have been any louder, right? And and it took me falling apart to stop. And that is where my passion comes from, because you don't have to fall apart. You don't have to. Like, I remember, I think I hear a lot of women say this, like, we just hit the bathroom floor and start, like, crying and, like doing in that moment of, like, dear God, I know I haven't prayed to you in a while, but can you help me, type of thing. And I feel like I had one of those moments of just complete desperation that I was willing to do anything not to feel like this anymore. I wanted to be reconnected with my kids. I wanted to be present. I wanted them to be able to tell me about their school day and me not have 10,000 thoughts running through my head, you know? And so from that place of wanting to feel my life too, it's not, and you know, my motherhood was a big pull for me to get my stuff together as far as priorities, but it was also, I'm like, I have this high profile job. I'm making good money, but I'm miserable, and I'm literally like probably a couple months away from ending up in the hospital. This isn't a way to live, you know?
It's all piling up,
Yeah, and we get like that. I call it like powering through, and we aren't stopping enough in our days to feel how we're feeling and to label it and name it. And once I was able to start doing that, we mentioned change the trajectory. I had a boss way early in my career, and this is kind of where the theme of the book came from, but in 2013, I had left a high-profile job as a regional sales manager for Dell to take a leadership role with a different company that was outside of, always primarily been in the tech industry. It was a little outside of my wheelhouse in a different industry, but it had a philosophy of, like, putting people first, right? Which was one of my, I call it one of my mission mantras is people before profits. I just believe in that a lot. So this company was so aligned to my mission mantra as a leader that I was like, I got to take this job. And which was fine, but it, like, all my tech people thought I was crazy for doing this. Why would you leave tech to go into staffing? But my VP at the time said to me, because I told him this, what I'm sharing with you, like, it's my mission mantra. I feel like I have to do this. I got to follow my passion. I got to follow what I believe in. And he said to me, he's like, I'm super proud of you, Becca. You know, you're welcome back at Dell anytime, but you are the CEO of your life and clearly you're taking helm, you know. And that just, I still get the goosebumps as I say it to you. It just resonated so deeply within me. And unfortunately, I didn't really like take that advice until my hair was falling out like 3 or 4 years later. But I always remember it.
Do you think you were chasing something? Was there something that you were chasing in the career? In, you know, obviously we're in this time period where everything is ramped up and technology makes things fantastic and connected, but, you know, it's a 24/7 world now and everybody has to be first and ahead and on top of everything. And then you add in social media and all these things. It's like being on an on-call doctor. Do you think that you were chasing something along the way too, and then realized, hey, I got to stop to breathe. I got to, you know, I love what I do, but what am I doing it for if it's making me ill and making me frustrated and I'm not having time for loved ones and friends like I'd like? You know, pause and recalibrate here a little bit, realign.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly kind of what happened. And I think I was chasing success. I think that I was also, I'll just be transparent, I'm an overachiever by nature, right? I'm like, I love
it. A++, right?
Yes, A++, here we go, right? I like winning, and not in a bad way. Like, I like being a team. I grew up playing soccer, so when I tell people I like winning, I'm like, I don't mean like stomping over people, but I like bringing teams together and accomplishing the unaccomplishable. You know, like, that type of spirit is really alive within me. So I think that sometimes my passion and my charge can also deplete me and can almost be obsessive. Like you said, if I'm not stopping to pause and recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's crucial. That's absolutely crucial to take time to do that. I mean, this concept of the term work-life balance, hear that so much until it becomes meaningless, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly think that phrase is a little BS to me. I've learned through my own experience
so nice,
that it's not real.
Yeah.
It sounds nice. No, and I think that I don't even think I know from my experience, and this is, again, why I get passionate about wanting to share the message. It is almost like a flip the script moment, right, where it's not – what actually happens in real life is not what we're told by society or whatever is portrayed. My life started expanding financially. It started expanding with more time and space for me to be authentic, to do creative projects like writing while still working a full-time job, being a present as a wife and a mother when I stopped striving for that. When I focused on, you know, what I think it's about priorities in a moment, like a moment in time, like when I'll just give you an example so the audience can get like a conceptualization of that. Like, you know, for me, writing the book was really important. I spent over a year dedicated to that, but I didn't let it take over my life. It gave me a lot of passion. It gave me a lot of fire. But I dedicated an hour and a half to it almost every day. And I woke up in the morning before the household was up. I did that. And then I still worked my full-time job, and I still was able to be a mom, and I still was able to be a wife without burning myself out, right? Mm. So I think that if you are in alignment with what feels good to you, I don't think life work the where I'm getting at is I think that the work-life balance is an outer thing that's not really tangible. I feel like balance, if you want to know what balance feels like, are you in harmony with your with yourself? You know, are you content?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, then you're not in balance.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And that's important. You know, when a new CEO is brought into an organization, it's kind of like starting from scratch, really, from the ground floor up. They like to hit the reset button, but your inner CEO is not necessarily changing. It's always going to be you. So I guess you have to really find solutions while sort of keeping the train moving forward and on the track, right?
Yes. But I do like what you said about that. And when I wrote the book, I kind of, you know, I'm a corporate girl, so I kind of thought about what happens when a new CEO comes in and things like that as well, while also maintaining that the CEO is always you. But I think that, you know, my first chapter is assess your enterprise. Anytime I feel that we're in it, and when we're not feeling in harmony or we're having a lot of discontent, you're not going to be able to make change from where you are without that pause. And so I think an assessment is the very first thing, just like a new CEO would do. If you're thinking, hey, I'm at the bottom of the list here, right? Like I'm prioritizing my job, I'm prioritizing my family, I'm prioritizing my commitments, and I can't breathe, I'm exhausted at the end of the day. That's a sign that you're not the CEO of your life right now. Someone else or something else is. So there's this reclaiming that almost happens, and it starts with reassessing.
Yeah, yeah. Reassessing, you know, and a lot of people have been doing that with the pandemic in this time of great pause and realign, reassess what I've been doing, who have I been serving, have I been neglecting myself, and do I want to do things going forward with my life in the next chapter that fulfill me and that inspire others? The timing of the book coming out and the timing of everything that we're talking about is so ironic considering the times that we're all experiencing right now. People are having that moment of pause and reflection, and as, you know, crazy and you know, sad or horrific some of it obviously is, it can also be a pivotal and incredible time to make change. You may have always been so busy, that A++ type person, but never felt you had time to stop, breathe, and then, you know, pull in the ranks and take a look at what you want to do going forward. Right now is an extraordinary time for that opportunity, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's, you know, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I hear people, some people have really harnessed the, you know, the times of the pandemic to do the overhaul, and other people are just like, I don't feel, I've spent more time at home and I was really excited about it, and I just don't know, you know, I still don't feel like fulfilled, and I still don't know what I want to do. And I think sometimes it's just a matter of gravitating towards some tools, and that's one of the reasons I was really excited to pour my heart into this project, because I wanted to provide people with tools to, like, how do you do it? That's, I think people want to do it, but they don't know how to do it. And, you know, there's beautiful work out there in addition to mine, but that's really why I poured my heart and soul into it, is so that people had the how to make these changes.
That's what it is. Right, exactly. I love how you say you are the CEO of insert your name enterprises, right?
Yes, I do say that.
And that's important, because you really are. You're the one. You're the one conducting, you know, the train and sailing the ship. And it's good to remind ourselves. Sometimes we lose track of that. We forget that. You know, we have opportunities to make choices and to make changes. And sometimes change can be hard. Sometimes change can feel foreign and unknown and different. So a lot of people fear it and they don't pitch change or move forward or take a chance on themselves. But one of the greatest investments you can ever make is in yourself, right?
100%. 100%. And, you know, as you're talking about that, it's in the book I reference it as the ladder of self-worth, but I kind of give a formula for seeing, like, A, where you are, but, you know, for your life to thrive and for you to be able to take those risks and the changes, you need to be able to prioritize yourself first. And a lot of times people don't make change because they're, like you said, they're afraid. But if you go a layer deeper, it's because it might upset somebody else or it might disrupt something. There's normally some type of emotional attachment to what that ripple effect might be that's hindering them from making the change. And when you pull that even back, it's because they're really considering everyone else above themselves. And so, like, one of the things that I like to do is, you know, bring people through that type of exercise. Like, where are you in your priorities? Is your, you know, family first? Is your career, like, you know, take the top three or four things, like career, family, you know, maybe social relationships, yourself. Like, where are you in that ladder, right? And if you're towards the bottom, if everything's coming before you and you're at the bottom, your self-worth is going to be impacted. And when your self-worth is impacted, it's really hard to make change. So that's one of the things that I like to call out. So I appreciate you bringing that up, because one of the first things you could subtly do for any of the listeners is just do a little evaluation. Where are you? What comes before you? And is it possible to move yourself up to the top? Because once you can, then you can start embracing change a little easier.
That's right, exactly. And, you know, sometimes people reject, you know, the former life, as they call it. But you've had an incredible career, and just because you had a few realizations about how you wanted to manage your time and what's important to you and what's a priority doesn't mean that you have to necessarily leave it all behind. There's a way to sort of integrate what's working in our life and then find solutions that direct us to the new things and realize those new things or those things that are not new, that aren't working. Find new solutions for those things that aren't working, right?
Right. And that's like my biggest thing is I think when people think of change or like that when they feel like their life isn't working and they think of change, they think of like, do I need to move? Do I need to end my relationship?
Yeah,
do
stuff.
I need to quit my job? And the answer is no, you don't. You can start where you are. Like now in my case, I did end up leaving my job to go back into the tech industry. But that was after I stopped to assess, and I was like, okay, I think I'm just going to digress for 1 second as I share this statement, is it's important to give yourself credit for the things that you enjoy. And what I realized is that I really like the fast pace of tech. I like that it's always changing. There's a certain thrill about it that is really exciting to me. And so when I was recreating my life or in the sense of getting myself back on track and getting my life in a place where I'm enjoying it, I didn't leave my career. I didn't leave my trade. I'm a sales leader. I'm a sales professional, right? I stayed in sales, but I did switch companies. And the change could be small like that. Changing jobs sometimes is a really big deal for people. But going back to what you're saying, I think people on the surface feel like there has to be this big overhaul. And for me, realizing what I enjoyed doing and the industry that I enjoyed doing it gave me enough of a change that it allowed me to recalibrate the rest of my life without overhauling everything.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's really, really, really crucial to pause on and to realize. And the book, too. Congratulations. Because, again, as I said in the introduction, it's sort of a labor of love for you. And what was that writing process like in putting together the book, and what do you hope people get out of the book?
Well, the process was absolutely awesome. I really enjoy writing. So for me, and it goes kind of back to, I've said passion a couple times, but I've always enjoyed, and part of the reason I'm in sales is because I enjoy creative expression. And so for me, writing and being able to really reflect, I mean, the tools that I use to transform my life, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it for everybody. It took 2.5 years to heal myself. It's a process that you're committed to when you're taking around, just like a real CEO of their life, right? They're not, or a real CEO of an enterprise. They're not going to walk in on day one and within the first 90 days, the organization's like totally transformed, right? It takes time and it takes dedication, and it takes a commitment to yourself to continue to prioritize yourself and not fall back. And being able to bring the processes that I took to light and write it in a way that transforms and empowers another person to do the same is just incredible. And I've had several readers and lots of feedback of like, wow, I've really been able to implement these changes, and I really feel more empowered, and I really feel more passionate. And you know, I think when you're empowered and the passion, the last part of my book is prosperity. What I've seemed to find within myself and within those who have kind of taken on this formula, so to speak, is that the prosperity comes as a result of giving yourself a place to be successful and happy without sacrificing one for the other. The prosperity comes from having confidence in yourself and understanding your gifts and talents and owning them. It comes from, you know, not being so afraid of change when it benefits you, right? And what I've found is that I started making more money. Like I was already making decent money, and then I started making more. I was like, well, that's cool. You know, I'll take that. And then I've also found that for a lot of the people who have gone through quote unquote the process, is that the outcome was never to make more money. It was to get their life in harmony and you know, be an A type that is, you know, still striving for success, but blend in that happiness where there's not this sacrifice model happening. And once that sacrifice is removed, then more prosperity comes in and more ways than just fiscal. But I mean, that ties into the second part of your question, is the hopes for the book. I really, it was a labor of love. I worked with a lot of talented people. It was not just myself writing a book. I did not know going into it what a team effort it is, but it was a huge team effort to make sure that the book was transformative in the way that it was written from start to finish. And I just really hope that the readers are able to take some nuggets from it and apply it to their life and find a place where success and happiness can coexist.
Beautifully said. And if folks want to get the book, again, it's going to be out in October. So keep watch of Amazon. And the title of the book is Harness Your Inner CEO, Rise into Passion, Prosperity, and Empowerment. And we're speaking with the author of the book, Becca Powers, of Harness Your Inner CEO. How appropriate. We talked a lot about, you know, sort of regaining our power and putting it to good use with your name being Powers.
Pretty cool,
I think,
right?
It's perfect. It's kind of interesting how that worked, right? Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say, you're literally living your authentic self, Becca Powers. And again, the website,
cool.
too, folks, if you want to check out the website to connect with Becca and all the wonderful work that she does, you can go to www.becca, that's B-E-C-C-A, Powers, P-O-W-E-R-S.com. Becca, this was terrific. 30 minutes went by in a New York minute, but I hope that we get a chance to maybe explore some more, maybe hear success stories. The book is coming out. That's exciting, and congratulations on that. And hope we chat some more, and hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you today.
Yeah, I sure did. Thank you, Jim, for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's great.
Oh, you're very welcome, and enjoy that beautiful Florida weather. You've earned it with all that work you've been doing as a type A++. Becca Powers, our very special guest. Masters, thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.